philosophical discourse, for philosophy was the theme of which we spoke, I was pleased. But in the pleasure, there was also a strange admixture of pain, for I knew that he was soon to die, and this strange double feeling was shared by us all. We were laughing and weeping by turns, especially the excitable Apollodorus. You know the sort of man. Oh, yes. He was quite overcome, and I, and all of us, were greatly moved. Who were present? Of native Athenians, there were, besides Apollodorus, Critobulus, and his father Crito, Hermogenes, Epigenes, Aeschines, Antisthenes, likewise, Tisippus of the deme of Paeania, Menenexus, and some others. Plato, if I am not mistaken, was ill. Were there any strangers? Yes, there were. Simmias the Theban, and Cebes, and Phaedandes, Euclid, and Terpison, who comes from Megara.
And was Aristippus there?
And Cleombrotus? No, they were said to be in Aegina. Anyone else? I think that these were about all. And what did you talk about? I will begin at the beginning, and endeavor to repeat the entire conversation. You must understand that we had been previously in the habit of assembling early in the morning at the court in which the trial was held, and which is not far from the prison. There, we remained talking with one another until the opening of the prison doors, for they were not opened very early, and then went in and generally passed the day with Socrates. On the last morning, the meeting was earlier than usual. This was owing to our having heard on the previous evening that the sacred ship had arrived from Delos, and therefore we agreed to meet very early at the accustomed place. On our going to the prison, the jailer who answered the door, instead of admitting us, came out and bade us wait, and he would call us. For the 11, he said, are now with Socrates. They are taking off his chains, and giving orders that he is to die today. He soon returned, and said that we might come in. On entering, we found Socrates, just released from chains, and Xanthippa, whom you know, sitting by him and holding his child in her arms. When she saw us, she uttered a cry and said, as women will, oh, Socrates, this is the last time that either you will converse with your friends, or they with you. Socrates turned to Crito and said, Crito, let someone take her home. Some of Crito's people, accordingly, led her away, crying out and beating herself. And when she was gone, Socrates, sitting up on the couch, began to bend and rub his leg, saying as he rubbed, how singular is the thing called pleasure, and how curiously related to pain, which might be thought to be the opposite of it, for they never come to a man together. And yet he who pursues either of them is generally compelled to take the other. They are two, and yet they grow together out of one head or stem. And I cannot help thinking that if Aesop had noticed them, he would have made a fable about God trying to reconcile their strife. And when he could not, he fastened their heads together, and this is the reason why, when one comes, the other follows. As I find in my own case, pleasure comes following after the pain in my leg, which was caused by the chain. Upon this, Cebes said, I am very glad indeed, Socrates, that you mentioned the name of Aesop, for that reminds me of a question which has been asked by others, and was asked of me only the day before yesterday by Evenus the poet. And as he will be sure to ask again, you may as well tell me what I should say to him, if you would like him to have an answer. He wanted to know why you, who never before wrote a line of poetry, now that you are in prison, are putting Aesop into verse, and also composing that hymn in honor of Apollo. Tell him, Cebes, he replied, that I have no idea of rivaling him or his poems, which is the truth, for I knew that I could not do that. But I wanted to see whether I could purge away a scruple which I felt about certain dreams. In the course of my life, I have often had intimations in dreams that I should make music. That same dream came to me sometimes in one form and sometimes in another, but always saying the same or nearly the same words. Make and cultivate music, said the dream. And hitherto, I had imagined that this was only intended to exhort and encourage me in the study of philosophy, which has always been the pursuit of my life and is the noblest and best of music. The dream was bidding me to do what I was already doing in the same way that the competitor in a race is bidden by the spectators to run when he is already running. But I was not certain of this, as the dream might have meant music in the popular sense of the word, and